My dad pastored a large church in Dayton, Ohio, and he had a great friend pastoring a large church in Akron, Ohio. His name was Dr. Ron Fowler. Little did I know that when I grew up and became a pastor of Crossings, that one day I would get to have Dr. Fowler's presence in our church, and he's actually now serving as one of our elders. He's a highly respected leader in the state of Ohio and around the country, and I just count it a privilege that I get to get together with him, talk with him, and just stay in touch with him because he has so much wisdom to offer me as well as to all of us. And right now, we're going to have a chance to hear from him. So let me take you to the interview I did with Dr. Fowler, and I think you're going to enjoy meeting him. Hey, Crossings family, what a pleasure it is for me to be sitting here with one of my heroes. This is Dr. Ronald Fowler, and he and my father were great friends. And Dr. Fowler has been a pastor for many, many years, is still a part of the church that he really built, and has been a mentor to the other pastors who've come behind him. And he's a part of our board of elders. In fact, our board and you as a congregation unanimously elected Dr. Fowler as an elder for life. And so we think it's a privilege. He may think it's a life sentence, but we are thrilled to have him as with his hands on the steering wheel of all things Crossings. So it's good to have you here. And I thought the congregation would love to just hear from you. We've spent some time today kind of taking the whirlwind around Crossings. And I know our people would love to hear your voice.
Well, you're kind, and it's a high privilege for me to be here. And I've always thought so much of your ministry, and to see how God has blessed this congregation to expand all across the city and even to prisons. I thought, wow, you know, what a gracious gift the Lord has given to you. You know, when I think of Crossings, I think of compassion. And because you haven't limited your services just to the members who are here. You've been very committed to serving beyond your pulpit, you know, in the world, and how grateful we are for that, because it has modeled well what we're supposed to all be about, and that's the work of the kingdom. But there's another reason that I'm awfully glad to be here for the board meeting. I've missed, you know, several months due to losing of my wife, who died suddenly, and then other problems that arose from there. And I was in a very dark place, and it was elders from this church that reached out to me and reminded me that they were praying for me and the family, and I deeply, deeply appreciated that. And I wanted to do something to say to the elder board, thanks. And I said, I know what I'll do. I'll call Pastor Marty and tell him, you know, I think I'm going to make the next board meeting in person rather than online. And so that I can look in their eyes and let them know as they look at me that I am here in part because of you. I was in a very dark place, and God came to my rescue.
You know, Ella Joyce, and or the First Lady, as I would frequently call her, was just the sweetest. And I know we would tease about her being my girlfriend, but of course, that would mean she's a cradle robber, you know, because I'm younger. But she, I've known her, most of my life. And I've told our elders and a lot of my friends, the memorial service for Ella was one of the most meaningful experiences I've ever seen at a memorial service. It was special.
Well, we always on Sunday afternoons we watch the Gaither Trio on television. That was our Sunday afternoon treat, and then I would sing to her. And she was particularly liked a lot of love ballads. And so the song that she loved the most was I'll Be Seeing You. And so I attempted to sing that to her. And it didn't matter that I went all off key. And but she just loved every moment of it. And I thought at the funeral service, that's the way I'll say goodbye. But I tell you, Pastor, I learned something about about death and funerals during my wife's passing. The one thing that thrilled me the most is that I kept trying to figure out, why do I feel so lonely? And I thought, well, yeah, you know, 62 years you're together, and naturally you're going to miss, you know, that companion when he or she is gone. And I was walking through the house, and I said, God help me. Give me some understanding of what I'm going through and how I can get out of this hole. And he said, it's very, very simple. And I said, it's very simple? He said, yes. He said, two things I want you to remember about the losing of a companion. And you need a metaphor. And the metaphor I'm going to give you is an amputation. You've had a part of you taken away, and you will miss that, just as a lot of amputees think that leg or arm is still attached, and it's not. And you're going to think that way for a while. You'll get used to it and make the adjustment in time, but for a while, you're going to walk in the house and think she's there, and she's not there, or lay down at night, and she's there, and she's not there. But that's okay. You know where she is. She's home, and she's with the Lord and with the family of God, and she's waiting on you, but you don't need to rush. And
please don't rush.
Please don't rush.
But it's just been a beautiful experience, and to have one of my dad's treasured friends be my friend, you just can't put words into that one. So
did I admire your dad, a preacher of all preachers. And I can think back on many occasions. He was chairman of our convention that met in Anderson, Indiana for a while. He was the chairman of the program committee. And I remember him coming, he saw me walking across the campus, and the person who was designated to speak had become ill and they needed a replacement. And they walked up to me and said, we need a preacher tonight. And glad to see you. And I just arrived on the campus. I said, I'm glad, Dave, that you need a preacher tonight, because I want to tell you where you can find one. Sam Hines just entered his dorm, Dunn Hall. And if you walk over there, I'll go with you. He's the man for the hour. And that's the way it worked out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Sam Hines.
And Sam ended up preaching the service that night.
Sam was quite a powerful preacher out of Washington, D.C.
Well, so is your dad. So is your dad. And he could take a simple text. I remember him preaching on the Beatitudes, and blessed are the meek. And he talked about the ox who were yoked together, that the word literally meek referred back to oxen who are yoked together. And boy, it made sense that God would care enough for all of us that he, by his Spirit, would become yoked to us and enable us to navigate life in a meaningful way. Your dad was a preacher of preachers, and so are you. And you often don't take credit for it, but so are you in your own right. And I'm always grateful to tune in and to see a friend, you know, whom God has blessed.
It means a lot.
When I think of this congregation and have opportunities to come upon these sacred grounds, there are three things that automatically come to my mind. One, you have a heritage par none. And I remember standing in the lobby of the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company as a young boy. I'd walk past those long stairs that lead up into the lobby on many occasions. But one day I walked up the steps, opened the door, nobody stopped me, so I stood inside the lobby. And on the wall behind the reception desk were the words, "Protect our good name." And as a child through high school, through college, that never left me. The greatest asset that we have is our name and what it represents and what it stands for. This church has a name, and it's a powerful name because it represents caring, They cared not only for each other, and I had an opportunity to be blessed by their caring, because I experienced that. And but it says an awful lot when they care about other churches and other churchmen. And a lot of under-resourced churches are being blessed because of this congregation, and who has just been a great steward, you know, of resources, great heritage, you know, great history, and a great leadership team. That I've heard you, Pastor, on many occasions speak about somebody who's really ringing the bell in a department here at the church. And I thought, boy, that's a great thing to experience. You know, when the pastor of the congregation is recognizing, here it is, excellence in other compartments through other team members, it says that to me that you really are a team, and it shows through what you expect to find when you come here or when I turn on the television set. I expect to find excellence. And if there's one thing I've learned about excellence, excellence has an attractiveness to it. It pulls people in. And a lot of people have been pulled in because you do things extremely well. And a lot of us have tried to imitate it. And we're grateful for that, you know. And I'm grateful that this church can serve as a light tower for our movement. And not only for us, but for a lot of other churches, you know, throughout this state and city and nation as well. Very, very grateful. Excellence is not only attractive, but excellence never plays to an empty house. People will find their way to celebrate excellence, whether it's downtown at the arena, you know, watching their basketball team go at it, or whether it's in a baseball stadium, or whether it's in a congregation. You guys have somehow learned that lesson, and you just simply were being who you are. Just simply being who you are, loving God, loving people, but offering a worship and educational and discipleship training that is second to none. And there are people in the pews attracted by the excellence. I've talked about this with our congregation back in Akron and saying, you know, a lot of churchmen are trying to find a lot of strategies for growth. And I think I found out the best strategy. Just do what you do, do it well, and try to improve on it. And another thing I like about the Crossings family is that you guys you evaluate everything from the children's ministry to youth ministry, right on through the ranks. And yeah, because how will you know if you are doing what you do well if you don't evaluate?
That's right.
And I appreciate, you know, listening to the stars that you have in different ministries, auxiliaries of the congregation, and I applaud you for that. But, you know, Crossings, my biggest joy is that I would have an opportunity to learn from the best. It's always been my aspiration in life to do precisely that. From the time I was in junior high school all the way through college, I always wanted to play against the best. I wanted to be measured by my capacity to respond to someone who was known to be better than I am on the football field. And I'm glad because it pushed me. It kept me sharp. Iron sharpens iron, always has. And I was just, 165-pound guard in Ohio, where you have Maslin and Steubenville, the football powerhouses, you know, annually. And yet I was blessed to be chosen by the Sports Writers Association in Ohio as a first-string fullback. Now, the fullback was in college, but a first-string guard in high school. It's quite an honor. And but that's where I learned the importance of being excellent, putting in the work and reaping the dividends, and you guys are doing that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I just can't tell you how much it means to us that you're a part of it. You are just one of the most inspiring people in my world, for sure, and I appreciate your willingness to help guide Crossings Church, speak into us each month at our elders' meetings, so much so the congregation voted that you're going to be one of our elders for the rest of your life. And I don't know if you think that's a life privilege or a life sentence, but, but we're sure glad you're with us every month.
That's a privilege.
And we deeply appreciate it.
God bless
you. Really love you, my brother.
Thanks for the honor.
Thank you.